If you really knew me, you would know that I am obsessed with assessments. If there is an assessment that is going to give me more insight or more clarity into who I am, how I operate in this world, how I can do my best work, who I am in relationship to other people, how I react, how I respond, how I process things, then I'm going to take it. And I probably have. I honestly probably have. I am an INFJ on the Myers-Briggs. I'm an Enneagram 3 Wing 2, the Achiever with a side of Caregiver. And on the Colby, I am a Fact Finder followed by a Fast Start. Colby is one of my favorite assessments along with StrengthsFinder to really help not only me understand how I respond and solve problems, but also to help me really understand the people on my team so that I can better lead them and support them. And when you're building a strong culture, that is essential. Let's get into it. Are you ready to grow from stressed out solopreneur to confident CEO? You're in the right place. I'm your host, Rachel Cook, and I've spent more than 15 years helping women entrepreneurs sustainably scale their businesses. If you're serious about building a sustainable business, it's time to put the strategy, systems, and support in place to make it happen. Join me every week for candid conversations about stepping into your role as CEO, the hard lessons learned along the way, and practical, profitable strategies to grow a sustainable business without the hustle and burnout. Hey there, CEO. I hope you have been enjoying this mini series on building incredible, impactful cultures in your business, how we can actually build organizations that people want to be a part of. And a huge part of building culture, for me at least, is understanding how I can better serve, how I can better support, how I can better lead the people who are a part of my team. Understanding this is really challenging, especially because I run a business where my team is scattered around the country and we don't have a lot of face-to-face time. So all of the, you know, small little things that you pick up when you're in person and you see people a lot, those little small moments at the quote unquote water cooler or grabbing coffee or going out to lunch or just casual conversation, those things don't happen in my business unless I'm bringing everybody physically together and flying them all here to Richmond for the CEO retreat, which I do, but it does mean that I need to find other ways to really understand and kind of accelerate the relationship building with each member of my team. And this is something that thankfully I've been able to do pretty well, having a primarily, you know, virtual style business where we're not in person. One of the tools that I have absolutely loved using has been the Colby A Index. This is actually a tool. This is such a funny story. This is a tool I first discovered somewhere around 2004 or 2005. My dad, who has been an entrepreneur since the 80s, like his whole career, he's had a small business. He owns an insurance agency. And he hired his very first business coach right when I was at the end of high school in like the late 90s. So I want to say like 1998, 1999, he hired his first business coach. And that's when his business really started growing. And one of the first things his business coach gave to him, he flew out, the coach was based in Arizona, exclusively worked with insurance agents. And he flew out for, you know, a few days of like a retreat workshop and came back with this assessment called the Colby. And he had us all take it at different points. So I'm pretty sure I probably took it first when I was in high school and then as I was graduating college, and my score didn't really change too much. I knew that in the Colby, I was very high fact finder followed by quick start. So this is a tool that small business owners can use to understand what is kind of your natural instinct when it comes to problem solving, when it comes to decision making. How do you naturally approach that? And understanding this is just so incredibly helpful to understanding your team and understanding more about what they need from you in order to make decisions for the business, in order to make decisions in their role about whatever that is that they are responsible for getting results for. So So when I was recording this series on creating an incredible culture, I already knew I was going to interview LaTondra Murray, who is a StrengthsFinder coach, the other assessment that I'm absolutely obsessed with. And her interview is next week. But I also got an email at the same time from a former client, Kendra Tillman, who specializes in using the Kolbe as a way to help you really understand your problem-solving strengths, your natural way that you think through things, make decisions, and growing and supporting and cultivating the culture in your team. So Kendra Tillman is the founder of StrongHer.me Coaching and Consulting. Our mission empowers rising women leaders to reclaim their authentic voice, own their leadership potential, and activate the courage to live their calling. When Kendra reached out to me, I knew I wanted to have this conversation because probably like a lot of the people listening to this, when you are a small business owner, we do not have the luxury that maybe a huge multinational corporation does of taking a long time to ramp up a new team member. We don't have a long time for someone to kind of understand what it is that we do here, or for someone to understand how they need to, you know, get up to speed in their role or make decisions in their role or be responsible for specific results. And one of the ways that we can collapse that timeline a little bit, something that might take a year of knowing somebody in a more like quote unquote traditional work environment in an office in a big, huge company, it could take a lot shorter time if we arm ourselves with both the intentionality of the culture we want to create. So conversations from Tiffany and Mia earlier on in this series, but also if we leverage assessments like the Kolbe and the StrengthsFinder so that we can get a clear peek into who these people are that we are hiring to work with us in the team and use those proactively in helping those people feel seen and heard and respected and helping those people be able to fully step into their role and feel fully supported in that. So I'm really excited about this conversation. It's really fun that I was able to review my first Kolbe tests that I took. Kendra's had me do another test. You'll hear about that. And just hear about how understanding this not only helps me be a better leader, see the type of areas I need support on my team, and also how you can use this to be a better leader in your business, in your team. So let's get into it. All right, CEOs, you are in for a treat today because Kendra Tillman is here with me to talk more about how we can intentionally build a great culture in our teams, specifically using the Kolbe as a tool. So Kendra, I was so excited you reached out to me. I'm so glad we get to reconnect and chat. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's so fun to actually, number one, see you in person. Well, not in person, but over video. And then because I've heard your voice in my earbuds so many times. So I'm looking forward to our conversation today.
Well, it's going to be so fun because when you reached out to me with this idea of talking about the work that you do and the Kolbe, I was like, oh my gosh, I took this test for the first time. Mm-hmm. I'm literally looking at the printout in 2005. Because at that point, my dad, who owns a small business, had hired his first business coach. Mm-hmm. And I remember he flew out to Arizona, where I know you are, is a business coach that specifically works just with insurance agents. And that's what my dad owns, as an insurance agency. And so he came back all fired up and was like, everyone's taken this test. So like all 20 something people on his staff took the test. My whole family took the test. My boyfriend, now my husband, took the test. Like everyone took the Kolbe test. So I have my original results and now I have my new results because there's quite a big difference in almost 20 years.
Yes. Yes.
Between taking this. But I really was excited because for him, when he first heard about this as a small business owner, it gave him so much clarity around how his team could work more effectively and also how he could get people kind of in the right seats, you know, everybody in the right roles based on how they naturally operate. So
yes,
as we get into this conversation, I want to know, how did you get into this work?
Oh, so that's okay. That's a great question. So for years, I hosted a women's empowerment event. And one of the things that I always brought into that event was an assessment, some type of mm-hmm. assessment that would help women have some, you know, language around what their strengths are. Because we're not always great at communicating what our strengths are. And the one that we actually started with was the StrengthsFinder. I mm-hmm. love the StrengthsFinder. I think it's a great tool. Well, one of the people that I asked to speak was someone that I had met years ago while I was an 18-year-old intern. She was like 15 years old. She grew up. She became this amazing strengths coach. And she came into our group and she would break down our strengths assessments. So over time, as she grew in her business and the work that she was doing, she learned about the Colby assessment. Mm-hmm. And she was like, Kendra, you have to take this test, because she was saying that she loved the strengths, all like the StrengthsFinder mm-hmm. and all the other discs, all of them. And she was saying, but there always felt like there was something missing that she couldn't quite put her finger on. And once she took the Colby, that was the thing that really helped bring everything else together for her. So that's how I started doing it. I took the test. She gave me my debrief. That's what we call it, is when we walk you through your results. And ever since then, I was like, this is incredible. This is so powerful, because something that you said about your dad bringing the whole team into it is that we learn a lot about strengths. And I love that we're learning more and more about our strengths. But sometimes the conflict that we think that we're having with people is around personality mismatch or something like that. But sometimes what the real issue or challenge is the fact that we don't necessarily recognize the way other people solve problems, or even how we solve them and how we can better appreciate each other. So that is what I have really appreciated about the Colby, is that it's very action oriented. It's very much something that today, like the minute you get your results, you can actually start to put this into practice. And it doesn't just become a report that you now have another thing that tells you something great about yourself, but then you don't have any way to put it into action. So
I think that's so interesting. And I'm just somebody who always likes assessments like this. I find so much clarity in them, and they all give you this slightly different perspective. Yes. But I love what you shared about this. Tells you so much just about how people approach work, about how mm-hmm. they think about different things, how they handle making decisions or communication or conflict or any of those types of things. I think these types of assessments give you so much insight. So as someone who is growing a business and has mm-hmm. a team, mm-hmm. what can you really use the Colby for? Like, how do you see the Colby being used as someone who is growing a business and leading a team?
Yeah, so there's multiple ways. So on a mm-hmm. personal level, one of the ways that Colby is going to support you is, number one, it's going to help you identify, as you are working in your business, how can you be the most productive? How are you managing your energy, right? Because as entrepreneurs, we expend a lot of energy in the work that we do, mental energy, physical energy, emotional mm-hmm. energy. And so it's going to help you be more productive in the work that you're doing. In terms of your team, it's going to help you make sure that you have the right people working on the right things for their energy, like how they mm-hmm. use their energy and how they solve problems. And so it's going to really support you in knowing both of those things. And it'll also help you assess, maybe there's a person on your team that you've been looking at mm-hmm. and you find that the skills that they have are great and they are appropriate for the position that they're in, but maybe you've had some tension around how they're getting their work done. So you will be able to better appreciate, oh, Kendra is someone who needs information. So her asking me multiple questions when we first start a project is not because of a lack of competency. It's not because she's trying to challenge me. But what it actually is that in order for her to be at her best, she needs more information. Or maybe you have another person on your team. Mm-hmm. They're the person that sometimes can feel like the wild card because they're brainstorming and they're coming up with new ideas. They're always putting out a new idea for the team to try. And again, for that person, it's not that they're trying to do anything that goes against your leadership, but they're actually using their own energy in a way that allows them to innovate. And that's what keeps them fresh. That's the contribution that they make to the team. And so it helps for you to know that about yourself and how you contribute. And it also helps you to know how your team members are going to contribute.
Oh, that's so good, because the person who needs to innovate and is the idea generator, if you flood them with information, they're probably getting more and more and more frustrated and like, no, stop. I don't need that. I just want to do something, and vice versa. So I think this is really fascinating to dig into. When you had me redo this, I was pretty surprised that my results had changed quite a bit from 20 something years ago when I first took this assessment. But I loved it when we jumped on, you said, you know, the question that you feel like should be asked before you take this thing, if you were being most yourself, if you were free to be most yourself, how would you respond? And I think that's an important thing to consider, because there's a huge difference between 40 something rage versus 20 something rage. There is definitely, as I think, as you get older and you're more confident just in yourself, those results might shift a little bit, but I'm still a high fact finder. That is still my highest number.
Yes. And that part didn't change. So one of the things that when you mentioned to me that your results had changed, so on everyone's report, when you first get your report, one of the first things that's going to jump out at you is you're going to see these four numbers. And it's kind of like, what in the world? What does this mean? You see numbers, you see colors, you see all these words. And so basically each one of these strengths that we're talking about is an action mode. And so when you are taking action, when you are striving, not when you're relaxing, but if you have a project you're working on, and even in your personal life, maybe you're planning a trip for your family. These are the strengths that are going to show up. And there is a continuum that they all live on. So each one of the strengths, there's the first strength is called the fact finder, and that's the red. There is the follow through, that's the blue. There is the quick start, that's the green. And there is the implementer, and that is that yellow color that you see. And the thing that's important to know is when you look at a report, everything on there is a strength. So Colby, it highlights your strengths. It doesn't highlight things that you need to improve. It doesn't highlight things you need to work on. And I know as adults who we've all been through the schooling process, when we see what we consider a quote low number, right?
Yeah.
We feel like, oh, that means I need to work on that area. No, it doesn't. Not on this report. We've actually even talked about as consultants, we almost wish it was turned sideways so that people wouldn't think of it as high or low, but really it's a continuum. And so you have strengths that lie on that continuum. And so Rachel's strengths that she has in the fact finder, she has a strength around being specific. That's an actual strength, meaning that there's details that she's going to be looking for. So if Rachel worked with you on a project, one of the first things she's going to want is information. She's going to need information in order for her to make decisions. And then the next thing is her follow through, which the strength she has around that is maintaining. So that what that means is if there is a system in place, Rachel is not necessarily the person you want to use her energy to develop the system, but if there is one in place, she's going to follow it. I see her nodding her head.
Yep.
She's going to follow the system. And if there's any discrepancies in the system where something is off, she's going to be the person who will also highlight for you and say, hey, you know what? You have ABC. It really should be CBA. And so she's the person who's going to be able to identify things like that for your team. And then her strength around quick start, that green, is to modify. And so she's going to be someone who the change, any type of change, she's going to be able to adapt to that change. She's not necessarily going to be the person initiating it, but she will adapt to the change that's happening, because Quick Start deals with risk and uncertainty. That's what it looks at.
Yep.
And then finally, she has this strength restore. So when you look at the implementer strength, that word implementer, sometimes people think of that as around execution, but in reality, what that strength is about is more about implementing like tools, like how you use tools. So you're going from being someone who can just envision things that are happening or needing to envision things that are happening, all the way to someone who needs to demonstrate what's happening. And so Rachel and I, we sit in the middle where we can, either one of those, it will not drain our energy. If you just want to envision it, if you want to get us in a room and just tell us the big picture, we can do that. Or if you want to actually stand in the space and demonstrate, we would be fine with that either as well. So that's really like a big picture overview of how those numbers fit together and help you to identify what your strengths are.
Yeah, I definitely, as I was reading through my report, mm-hmm. I related to a lot of this. And I really like how you shared that it's not that the ones that are the lower number are like a mm-hmm. bad score.
Yes.
They're still a strength. It's just the way that they kind of present is different based on where on the spectrum you are. And I think that's so interesting to look at this in that light, in that way, because all of these resonate to me. So as someone with this breakdown of my Colby, mm-hmm. I think the one that I definitely lead with the most is the fact finder. That's the one that instantly I'm like, yes, all the information, all the mm-hmm. data. This is why people come to my office and they just stare at my bookshelf. Like I am just a learner, and all of my strengths finders, like out of my top five strengths finder strengths, something like four of them are all related to input, learning, synthesizing. Like it's all getting more information. So that was mm-hmm. no big surprise to me. But as I am looking at this through the lens of how I need to bring my team together.
Yes.
When you are looking at hiring team, mm-hmm. how would you use this information to find other people or mm-hmm. to figure out who on your existing team needs to kind of come in and support you?
Oh, that is such a great question. So that's something that I'm so happy that you would even think in that way. So the thing that happens is, I was thinking about this because I was going to be on your podcast, and I listen to your podcast a lot. And what tends to happen as leaders is we attract people that are like us.
Yep.
So we tend to attract people that are like us. So I would imagine that a lot of your listeners, if we could do like a survey, they probably would be initiating fact finders. Okay.
Or
initiating follow throughs. So they would fall in those categories. But what also happens is people who their strengths look different. So let's say someone who is a 7 to 10 in that quick start, they uh-huh. will also be drawn to you because they notice that there's something that in the way that you are structured and the way that you are very strategic and you look at all the data, like they're drawn to like, I would love to have more of that in my life, because that's an area for me where I'm not specific. I am more like high level, give me the big picture. And so even with hiring, what tends to happen on teams is we can do what's called cloning, where we have a lot of people whose strengths look just like ours. And so when that happens, right, What do you think happens when you have a team where there is, let's say you have a team of 5 people and 4 out of the 5 people are initiating fact finders? What do you think happens, Rachel?
Oh, well, I'll just sit around and read all day. And I definitely see that. Like the whole team slows down because mm-hmm. everybody's trying to research it to the nth degree before we mm-hmm. take any action.
Yes. And if, let's say you had a team of, let's also in that same scenario, let's say there's a team with 4 initiating quick starts. What do you think happens?
A lot of new ideas and new directions. They're constantly like every week, let's do this, let's do that. And so there's no momentum building because they're always changing course.
Yeah. So what we want is we want a diversity of teams. And so depending on your team, you actually may need more of one particular strength, because that is what is needed for that job position, or even for like how your team is made up. But you want to still have that diversity. So when you're looking, one of the things that people actually do during the hiring process is they will actually have people take the Colby. So when you get to that point where you know that this person is one of your final candidates and you're really interested in working with them, then you would have them take the Colby assessment. Mm-hmm. And then you could take a look at, okay, on our team in this position, what do we actually need? And so we have, so you took the Colby A, but we have a Colby B, we have a Colby C. So what the Colby B does is it lets you look at what you think the job requires. So like for you as an entrepreneur in the work that you do as a strategist, working with business owners, you could take a Colby B and say, okay, this is what I think this job requires. And so then you could compare your strengths to what your Colby B results were. With the Colby C, it's for hiring. So a Colby C is you're an employer. You're looking at, I want to hire someone for my team. And this is what the job requires, not the person, but this is what the job requires. Okay. Yeah. And then you can look at a candidate and we create for you what's called a range of success. So a candidate doesn't have to have this exact number. So like your MO is 7644. So it's not that the person has to be a 7644 to do the job, but there is a range in there where, okay, there won't create too much tension, too much stress for the person doing the job. So I wouldn't want a person who is an initiating quick start, who is like a 7 to 10 in quick start and a 1 to 3 in fact finder, doing a job that really is meant for someone who's between a 6 and a 10 in fact finder.
Yeah.
That's going to stress them out. It's not going to be a good scenario for you or them as a team member. So that's how we help you look at how this person would fit into your team.
Okay. This is amazing, because there's definitely roles where you need people. Mm-hmm. I know we're using Quick Start as the example, but I'm looking at my report and the people who score highly on that, they are the ones that need to experiment and constantly play with new ideas, or the mm-hmm. innovators. Mm-hmm. And there are definitely roles in business where mm-hmm. things are changing. Like I'm thinking of marketing, for example, like social media changes so fast. Mm-hmm. I hope your social media person is someone who has a little bit higher on that, because of the speed that that role is going to change. Mm-hmm. They need to be someone who can jump in, play with things, be running experiments, and not be stuck in, well, this is what we've done forever and this is the only thing we can do. So there's times in your business where, or roles in your business where you do need that quick start, where you need somebody who's really willing to be that innovator. And then there's times where you need people who are literally just like chop wood, carry water, like over and over and over again. They just keep a really, really steady rhythm, steady pace, and keep things moving like clockwork behind the scenes in your business. So I think this is so interesting how you can look at those ranges, and then by having your team take this, make sure they're in the right role.
Yes.
But also make sure you're empowering them to leverage their strengths in that role.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things too is that what happens is we sometimes, what we have is called, we call it a conative bias. So basically with Colby measures the conative part of your brain. So the place where you're taking action. And so we can tend to be biased to people that look like us, think like us, and also take action like us, right? And so what you're saying is so true. And also, so when you learn a lot about your own strengths, then you tend to put your strengths as like the standard for what strengths should look like. But you can have three people doing the same job and their strengths all look different, because they all bring something different to that position. And so just being willing to keep an open mind and being willing to value the strengths that the different people on your team are going to bring to the table.
Awesome. So you shared that with me, that you compared your results to my results. If you're looking at two sets of results, I'd love to know, like, what jumps out at you as someone who coaches people with these tools that I should be considering as I'm looking at building my team more?
So one of the things to always consider is anywhere you are that number between 7 to 10 and someone else is the 1 to 3.
Yeah.
Because back to the cognitive bias, what happens is that you can start to see that even though you don't verbalize it in that way, you can see it as a weakness. So for example, in Quick Start, I'm a 2. Mm-hmm. A 2, again, when we hear a number because of our schooling, it sounds like a problem. It sounds like something you need to fix, right? Yeah. But actually, the strength that I have around that is stabilized. So that means on our team, if you have a great idea, something that you're ready to jump out and try, maybe something we've never done before as a team, the strength that I'm going to bring to the table is, what are we not considering? What could possibly happen? I'm going to be the person on the team that's going to minimize whatever the risks are. And so what's important is for you not to try to fix me and make me be more like you, but to actually encourage, okay, Kendra, let us hear more about what it is that you're saying. What are you thinking? Where do you think that we might get off track so much that it could set our business back? Because that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm not going to be trying to hold the team back. I'm going to try to make sure that whatever resources, whatever time, whatever financial investment that you are making, that we are making a decision that's going to move us forward and not hold us back. And so that's one thing that I would say for leaders is making sure that you recognize the strengths of the people on your team, not just when they're the numbers that are between 7 and 10, but also all the other numbers that are on their report. So anything between a 1 and a 3 or anything between a 4 and a 6, all of those are strengths. None of them is something that needs to be fixed or improved on. It's something that we want to leverage, that we want to encourage from the people on our team.
Oh, that's so good. And I can see that, like you're saying, you're the stabilizing force. So it's like, you're going to go in and just ask a lot of really important questions to shore up the idea, to make sure that it's as, you know, stable as possible before you put it out in the world. Yeah. And that's an important role. That's a massively important role. And I think if somebody is a really high Quick Start, they might be like, stop slowing me down. But really it's like, hey, I'm kind of like your insurance policy here. I'm protecting you from your own inclination to just like run at something without thinking through all of the, you know, potential downsides. So I think this is so, so helpful as you're using this within a team. How do you see that this changes the dynamics within a team?
I think that it creates a sense of respect, a greater sense of respect for each other. I think that it also helps people be actually more collaborative because we all understand that there are areas that I know would be beneficial for our team, but I'm not necessarily the right person for that. So a person that's a 1 to 3 in that follow through, for example, means those people are not actually going to stick to a script. They're not going to stick to a procedure. They're going to bounce around with to different areas and different, they're not going to be step by step. And so on a team, one of the things that happens is they understand that, you know what, the people that are on our team that are in that 6 to 10 range, let me talk to them and say, you know what, I need to finish this project. I'm really struggling with whatever, like I'm struggling with getting from point A to point C. And I really could use your support on this. Could you help me? Could you brainstorm with me? Could you even put a plan in place for me? So it actually helps people to start to lean on each other more and depend on each other so that they don't just become this island to themselves. Maybe there's a person on your team. We don't see a ton of, there's a smaller percentage, of course, of people that would be in that 7 to 10 range in the implementer where you are dealing with tangible things where you need to be demonstrating. So maybe there's a model you need to build. So maybe you on your team, you might pull that person in. And so that's what I mean by it makes it more collaborative in terms of you recognizing there are people on this team that have certain strengths that I could use. And how do I start to ask them for the help that I need?
What's funny is if I'm remembering right, when my husband took this, he's very high on the implementer. Okay. And it makes sense to me because he's someone who he manipulates things like physically, like he likes to build things. He's gotten into like furniture making and carpentry. And it makes my sister's also very high in this and she works in the construction world, like as a project manager and designer. So they very much like to have their hands in it to figure mm-hmm. something out and to make something that's a physical thing. And I think that it's so fascinating because we don't think of that very often in a lot of businesses, but there's still a lot of things that need to be created, like tangible things that need to be made.
Yes.
And put together. And I am not the person you want if something has to be made
or fixed.
Fixed. You don't want me to do that, but I can keep it nice and organized yes. and running as long as it's running. Okay. I'm good. But if something breaks, like I'm not your girl, then we got to call in the tech support husband to fix all the things. But I think this is so so interesting. And I think it's so important as you're growing your team mm-hmm. to use tools like this, because they do give you so much clarity and insight and help you figure out where do you delegate? Where do you put people in different roles? How do you adapt the roles given the individual that's in it? Because sometimes we might have, like you said, a couple people in the same type of role, but I'm thinking of our team of mentors inside of the CEO Collective. I need to have them do this because they're all very different people, even though they all have the same type of role. The way they approach it all is going to be very, very different. Mm-hmm. And that will even help us make sure that, you know, the people they're getting matched to mentor are going to be an even better fit because they're able to support them in their strengths versus maybe in areas where they might struggle a little bit.
Yeah. And this report, one of the things that it does is it gives you these things called conable tips. Mm-hmm. And these are really things that help support you in doing more of what makes you be at your best. And so, for example, like for you, I want to actually do the one around the quick start, because uh-huh. I know we always tend to focus on those numbers that are that 7 to 10. So for you, you're a 4 and your strength in quick start is to modify. So you're going to check things out before trying. So one of the things that it tells you that you should be doing is respond quickly to challenges, uh-huh. make adjustments on the fly, handle last minute changes, seek alternatives, and mediate risk. Those are do's for you.
Yep.
And a don't for you is don't change for the sake of change. Don't create uncertainty. Don't leap into many major changes at once. Don't take on too many competing deadlines, and don't try to get consensus on innovation. And the reason is because we have a limited amount of energy. We have a limited amount of mental energy. And so every time you're doing the things that you should do or do the do list,
yeah.
those things help build your energy for the work that you're doing. And whenever you're doing the things on your don't list, those things are draining your energy. So if you are trying to get consensus on innovation on your team, that's going to be an energy drainer for you. If you're taking on too many competing deadlines, that's going to be an energy drainer for you. If you're creating uncertainty, not that it doesn't exist. If it doesn't exist already and you're creating that, then it's going to be an energy drainer for you. And so that's something really important to be thinking about for yourself as a leader and as you're working.
Yeah.
Are you doing things even without the Colby report? If you look at your day, if you look at the course of your day, are you doing things that are draining you? Or are you doing things that are energizing you? And how can you start doing more of the things that are energizing you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a great question. And I think mm-hmm. this is one way you can align your business and your business mm-hmm. strategy. Mm-hmm. To work for, I mean, as someone who has chronic pain and chronic fatigue challenges, mm-hmm. I have to pay attention to this, like, mm-hmm. because anything that mentally drains me or emotionally drains me will physically drain me also.
Yes.
So I think because yes. I'm so sensitive to that, mm-hmm. I know that everything I put on my calendar is things I actually enjoy doing mm-hmm. and that mm-hmm. is in my zone of genius, that is the way that I like to do things. And if I'm thinking of for this particular one you just shared, like the idea of kind of checking things out before trying them, not just creating change for the sake of change. So not jumping on every new idea, but it reminds me of my TikTok experiment. I was like, everybody was saying, you know, jump on TikTok. You just create 3 videos a day or something. And I was like, well, first of all, I don't have that kind of capacity. But second, I watched for a long time. Like I just kind of sat with it and played with the platform as a consumer before I decided I was going to use it for my own business. Mm-hmm. And then when I decided to use it for my own business, I already had done my fact finder thing. So I had consumed a lot. I had looked at it. I had looked at examples of who I really liked, how they were showing up on TikTok versus the ways I was like, this is not going to work for me. This is not sustainable for me. And that's how I landed on the idea of doing video shoots where I could do one day, create a ton of content that we could share out on TikTok. And then the next time we do a video shoot, I can add into some changes, right? I can tweak a little bit as we go, but I didn't have to commit to something where I was like, just doing a whole lot of new all the time. And I think that for me is really important because I do need that consistency to manage my own energy and my own bandwidth. So I love being able to see these little things through this lens and how it can help me continue to think about what's next. It definitely is kind of sit with things, do my research, sit with them, kind of see what the options are, and then kind of slowly roll them out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's so important. Like when I was listening to you just say just now, how everybody's saying, do this, try this. This is the next thing. You got to be doing this. And I think that sometimes one of the things that's so important is really looking at who am I and what's going to work best for me. Just because it's what works best for everybody else doesn't mean that's what works for me. And that's why the question we ask you as you're walking through this assessment or this index is when you have the freedom to do it your way, the freedom to be yourself, what does that actually look like? And that might take turning off social media. It might take turning off podcast episodes. It might take turning off what your friends are telling you and just spending some time looking at what works for me. Not what works for everybody else, but what works for me.
Yeah, I think the you should do this is one of my least favorite ways to approach anything because the minute you start hearing you should do this, you have to try this, it kind of shuts off the critical thinking of, well, how do I actually do my best work? How do I actually enjoy showing up? How do I actually enjoy leading my team? Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate that perspective for this, to sit down and as you're taking this type of assessment, think through, if I were to show up 100% the way I would like to show up, how would I operate? So Kendra, this is fascinating. I cannot wait to dig into this more. I think anyone who is trying to lead a team, grow a team, make sure everyone involved in your company is truly in alignment, because as your business grows, it grows beyond just being in alignment for you, the person who started and is leading it. It also means every person needs to feel in alignment as well. And when you're building a culture, I think a huge part of that is respecting that everyone brings something unique to the table, and we have to respect each other's gifts. We have to respect each other's talents and strengths, and also accommodate for the differences between people in our team so that everyone can thrive. And this takes another level of your own self inquiry and willingness to kind of learn and be uncertain about how all these things play out, but also being genuinely curious about the people you're bringing into your company. So I really, really appreciate this tool. How can people connect with you, Kendra, and learn more about how they can bring together everyone's strengths to have a really amazing team?
Okay. So one of the things that I provide now is what I call the Colby mini session and Activate Your A mini session. So what Rachel and I have talked about a lot today is her Colby A results. And honestly, for me, I think that's always the first stop is for you to know for yourself as a leader what your strengths are. And also you being able to look at how am I effectively using my own strengths. And so I offer this Colby A mini session, and basically it's no cost to you with the exception of the actual assessment itself. So if you go to strongher.me /Kolbe. Kolbe is spelled K-O-L-B-E mini session. So strongher.me, Kolbe mini session. You will find all the information about this, taking the assessment. For it costs, it's a $55 charge for the actual assessment itself. And then you and I will set up a 45-minute debrief and laser coaching session. Cause today this was so much fun and we literally just scratched the surface. Like this,
I mean,
is
really,
yeah. Just because we didn't want to overwhelm you all with details. We think that you get a big picture of what this could mean for you as an individual and you as your team. And so I would love to have a conversation with you about this in detail.
Fabulous. I will make sure that this is all linked up in the show notes.
Okay.
Y'all, I can't recommend connecting with Kendra enough because I think these types of assessments are just so powerful in your developing your leadership and seeing, you know, the areas where you need to shore up on support within your own team and seeing opportunities within your team that you can amplify even more. So I will definitely be following up with her to get more insights about my existing team here so that we can see how we can really amplify everybody's, you know, results and their strengths individually and collectively. So thank you so, so much for connecting with me and jumping on today. I think this is just so powerful. And I think more leaders need to be this type of curious about how they can grow teams where everybody can thrive.
Thank you, Rachel. I appreciate that so much. I'm so excited for this.